Good morning. It's good to have Myron and Bethany home again. And also good to see Phil and Twyla. It's great to have you guys here. I just want to thank the congregation for their gift this morning. It feels like it's a blessing undeserved. And I just want to thank you for that. This morning, I asked James to stay up here. Focus of the message this morning is focusing on the names of God. And I'm going to say a few words. James is going to sing a few songs. And then I'd like to open it up just to you as a group and to share names of God that have been meaningful to you personally. So we're going to pass the mic around. But one of the things about names of God is that they have meaning. And it says something that's true about who God is. Something about his makeup, his intrinsic nature, what he's like. The names that Scripture tells about what God is called. It's an attempt to represent what he's like. And I was doing some research, and depending on how you count in Scripture, there's up to about 900 different names for God in the Scripture. And what is amazing is that our language is so limited that it doesn't even cover it with 900 different names. And looking at the names of God, this is what he calls himself. This is what his followers have called him. I'd like to just have James sing a couple songs here. And I'm going to have the words up here. If you'd like to sing along, that's fine. But I'd like it to be more of a, as we focus on the Lord in the message, be more of a time of just reflecting on who God is and what he's like, and then we'll have a bit of a sharing time after.
Faithful God, faithful God, all sufficient one, I worship you. Shalom, my peace, my strong deliverer, I lift you up. Faithful God, faithful God, faithful God, all sufficient one, I worship. Shalom, my peace, my strong deliverer, I lift you up, faithful God. Shalom, my peace, my strong deliverer, I lift you up, faithful God, faithful God, faithful God. See if you can help me on this one. Now, unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. See if you can help me this time. Now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. Unto the King be glory and honor, unto the King forever. Unto the King be glory and honor forever and ever.
Thank you, James. Anyone want to share any names of God that have been meaningful to you personally? We have some mics here. Just put up your hand. Over here, Steve.
Redeemer. When we redeem something, we take back that what was lost. Mm-hmm. And after many bad choices, he has taken me back. Mm-hmm. And he has redeemed me.
Thank you. Anyone else? Let's hear from a few more names of God that are meaningful to you. Up here. Go ahead.
I actually made a list. The first thing that came to my mind was Jehovah Jireh.
Okay.
Husband to the widow. Hmm. Father to the fatherless. I guess Son of Man captures the next one, the one who came and walked among us.
Hmm.
For many years, that was a big, big comfort to me. My strength, the days I go to work and I just don't feel there's enough of me. Comforter, divine friend, Savior, and Redeemer.
Okay.
Jehovah Jireh, husband to the widow, father to the fatherless.
Yeah, I think we heard it.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Janet. It's meaningful.
I think the two words of the Lord the last 2 weeks in my own personal journey was deliver and my rock. And last week I was, like, deliver came to me last week. And I was doing a word study on it, and it in the Hebrew was carry me away safe. So I just carried that with me that week by faith, even though I couldn't always feel that from the Lord, that he was going to carry me away safe. And then the other word was rock, and it had the meaning of protector, or like the scaly skin of a crocodile. So for me, it was like that he was going to be watching out for me when I felt afraid, or that there's something about that nothing could get in the way. And I guess I was thinking of the evil forces in my life, and that he was going to protect my heart even when I can't always be protected physically.
Thanks. Is there some? Oh, here. Merlin?
Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay. It means peace in Hebrew.
Okay. That's great.
Hebrew because he's our banner too when he always loves us.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
The names of God have been such an anchor to us lately. I would say some of our favorite has been Battle Fighter. Our refuge, our advocate, and the strong one who sees me has been a favorite of Merlin's too. So it's just been such a comfort to us.
Great. Thank you. Esther.
I hate the word widow. But I discovered in the Greek it means bereavement. And so my bereavement, God is my husband.
Thank you for that. Kathy.
Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. He runs to me when I cry out for aid. And also, Hagar, when she was out under the tree, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me.
Powerful words. Thanks for sharing them. Some of them are the ones that I picked to talk about this morning. I picked 10 out of the 900. And I want to just run through them. I'll go through them fairly quickly. And I'm primarily looking at passages in the Old Testament and in the names of God. And I want to start in Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9:6. And I think in this passage, Isaiah is prophetically looking forward at, and he's saying, this is what God's like. And he's prophetically looking forward to who Jesus is. I want to just read that verse 6. And I'm just going to jump in the middle of the passage here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Names of God. Wonderful Counselor. How would you like that name for you, Sam? Or Elaine. Wonderful has to do with like awe. Like full of wonder. Like awe. And it might. I had a lot of awe fishing with up north with Jaden and some relatives. A lot of awe in nature, in a sunset, in a good fish. It's sometimes the way I feel when I see Darlene when she tries on a new dress. Like, oh, It's amazing. Miraculous. Extraordinary. That's what it's saying about God. Wonderful. Counselor. Two words that Isaiah puts together. Counselor is to do with advisor. I made this word up, a knower. It's a state of knowing a lot, this counselor. And it's not so much an action referring to what God does, but it's the essence of who he is. So the knower and of the purposes and plans of God. And Isaiah is pointing to Christ. It's amazing. Full of wonder what God knows. And that's his name. So when we pray to him, we pray to this wonderful counselor. We can trust the knowing that he has in our world, in our lives. The next one, Mighty God. And again, it's two words, mighty. It has the idea of a warrior, a champion. And it's like hockey to a Canadian. Mighty. Strong and powerful. It's above, a top dog. Mighty. And when we pray and acknowledge God as mighty, we petition a God where nothing is impossible with him. Absolutely nothing. Mighty God, above and apart from who we are. That's our God. Everlasting Father is the next word that Isaiah uses. Everlasting is a timeless eternity. And you know, we don't know how to think about eternity, really, in the ways that we live in our limited scope of things forever. So Father has to do with our origin, birthed part of our makeup. Father of eternity, this everlasting Father. So he's the, now this is a, this isn't going to make sense, but he's the originator of forever, everlasting Father. And another thing that I thought through as I was thinking about God as Father, in the New Testament, Jesus addresses God as Abba, or Daddy, Papa, Father. And Christ approaches and addresses God in the tender term. So maybe another way to say this is our everlasting Daddy. It's God, forever his child as we believe in him. As we think about the names and we think about who, when we pray, I'd like us to think about these names. The fourth one here, Prince of Peace. Prince in these words is... It's someone who rules over peace, rules over calm, rules over rest, serenity, security, safety. A part of God's rule is peace. It's a part of his rule. God rules over a time of rest between people. Presides over it, leads it. Peace carries kind of the connotation of completeness. So he's a prince of wholeness. Our God is a prince of wholeness in our lives. I'd like to look at another one out of Psalms. And I asked Alex to read this. Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. Alex, go ahead.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thanks, Alex. Shepherd. Someone who feeds and leads his flock to pasture. And there's different parts of that passage. Sheep won't lie down unless they're contented. They won't lie down when they're hungry. They're not going to drink from a fast-flowing stream. So the shepherd finds the pasture. The shepherd finds the brook. To think of God as our shepherd, I think, is something about intimacy that God wants us to know, but what he wants to, the kind of relationship he wants to have with his people. There's nurture and care. This God that we serve, he shepherds us, watches over us day and night, leads in paths of righteousness. There's so many different sides of that when we think about God being our shepherd. I'm going to move on here. And this was mentioned in the sharing time by a few of you. Genesis 16. And talking about Hagar, a God who sees. And I was just kind of struck as I was thinking through the story again. So here we are, Sarah wasn't having any kids. I can say kids, it means children. Wasn't having any kids. So she says, Abraham, why don't you just take one of my slaves here and you can have some kids through her. Like, that's really sick. Something really stinks about that for a woman to be used like that, like Hagar was. So Hagar runs away, meets up with an angel, and she names the place. I want to just read some of this passage here. Genesis 16, 7 to 14. The angel of the Lord found her. She had just run away by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing, for she said, truly I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore the well was called Beer Lahoiroi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. You are a God of seeing, Hagar says. A God who sees. And I'm struck with that. Here in the middle of her violation, in the middle of her being used, God looked, God saw her. God knows everything. He noticed. He acted. He's a God who sees. That's hopeful when we think about who God is, a God who sees. And I think there's another part that's amazing to that story, and it's even included in Scripture here, that here's a woman. And in those days, women were property. And it's included in Genesis about this woman, Hagar, who had a name for God. I want to look at Exodus 15. Exodus 15, 22 to 26, the Lord, the healer. The Lord, your healer. In the context here, I'm kind of just picking out some of these passages to focus on some of these names. Context here is Israelites have just crossed the Red Sea, and there was this great deliverance out of Egypt for them. And they got across. The army was destroyed. And people remembered all the sickness and the calamity that happened to the Egyptians. I want to just read that, 22 to 26. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. And they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Part of the Lord's essence, part of the Lord's makeup is to restore, to heal, to make well following a sickness. And I would like to say it's a whole person healing. Often we hear about healing from sickness. I think it can be emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. The Lord is, whenever there is healing, wherever there is healing, the Lord is the source of it. The Lord is the source. That's what this is saying. The Lord doesn't always heal in ways we think he should. But wherever it is, the Lord is the source. We lift up his name. Now look at Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel was a prophet to God's people in exile. So this was a hard time. It was a dark time. And people were saying, "Where is this God? Ezekiel? Zeke? Where's God? What do you have to say to that? Where's God?" And actually their calamity, the Jews' calamity was evidence of God's faithfulness. Because God had told them that this is what would happen. This is what he's going to do. And then in a vision, Ezekiel was brought to Jerusalem. And he saw the glory depart from the old city. God was not there. And he was being shown in his vision a new temple and a new city. In the last words in the book of Isaiah, the name of the city, which symbolically represents the people of God, the Lord is there. I want to just read that. Circumference of the city, Ezekiel had measured a bunch of stuff. Circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits, And the name of the city from that time on shall be, The Lord is there. The Lord is there. The Lord had not abandoned his people. In fact, in the middle of their trouble, the Lord was very present. He was there. And God would make himself known by people enjoying and celebrating his presence. That's how God would make himself known. That's how people would know that God was there, is people worshiping him. The Lord is there. When we pray to God, we pray to a God with a name that's present. He's there. I'll jump back to Genesis 22. And one of you mentioned this in the sharing time. The Lord will provide. And God had, in this passage, God had commanded Abraham to go and kill Isaac, his promised son. I want to jump in at verse 9 here, read to verse 14. When they came to the place, so Abraham had went, they took wood, and Isaac, they brought some people to help in their travels, and then Isaac and Abraham had went on by themselves, and Isaac had asked Abraham, where's the sacrifice? We're going to do the sacrifice thing. Where's the lamb? When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, I think sometimes we just kind of glibly read over that. That'd be like me laying Jaden or Ryan or Jeremy, tying them up and laying them on and just taking my knife out to kill them. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, day on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The Lord will provide. God provided a substitute sacrifice for Abraham. And I don't know what that means for us today. The Lord will provide. What does that mean to you, to me? I think part of it, for provision to happen from the Lord, there needs to be acknowledgement of a need. The Lord, if there's no need, it's probably going to be hard for God to provide anything. And God is able to see the situation ahead of time and is able to provide based on what he already knows, what he already sees. And the place where God sees and provides, he should be praised, shouldn't he? Places where God has provided for us, he should be praised. I'm going to read one more here. The Lord our righteousness, from Jeremiah 23, 25, actually, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. And Jeremiah is looking forward, talking about Christ. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. And we sang about that this morning. When I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. God in Jesus is a true picture of goodness, rightness, truth. The Lord our righteousness. And I remember in college where this was impressed on me, in Bible college, that there's nothing that I can put on or take off or do for my own righteousness. Salvation through Christ is a gift. And you know, sometimes when we examine ourselves, there isn't a lot to celebrate apart from God's activity in us. And he's the reason we can be good. Jesus is our right standing before God. When God looks at you, Mark, when God looks at you, Conrad, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. He doesn't see what you're like. He doesn't see what we're like. He sees Christ. And that's the way he's able to save us. His God is I just mentioned 10 of God's names, reflecting the reality of what he's like. And when we pray to a person that's revealed in his names. That's who we pray to. And my hope this morning, as I'm mentioning these names, is that it would call us to a greater faith, call us to greater awareness of who God is. And I'd like to just, in the next little bit, just personalize several of these at the end here. I'd like to acknowledge who God is before you. Just tell some stories. I just looked through and picked out some of them. And first one that jumps out at me is the Lord is our healer. And a number of years ago, a lot of you would remember this, Darlene had Lyme's, and it was primarily 1 year where we were dealing with that. And there's still some residue from that. But I remember being in an anointing service, praying for healing. We'd ask for anointing, and Mark and Doug and Irvin were there, maybe a few others. And I remember saying something like, I want the Lord to heal Darlene, but I want him to do some things in me too. That I feel like God has some things to do. And I really believe God is doing a healing in Darlene, but he's also doing a healing in me. And it's a healing that isn't coming in the ways I was expecting. And it's not just physically, but it's emotionally and spiritually. And it's a healing that has been agonizingly slow and brutal. But I just want to declare here today that the Lord is healer. And I'm experiencing it in our home, in our lives, personally. God is healer. Another one that jumps out to me here was God who sees me. I don't know if you get a hold of that. God sees me. God sees you. The last several months I had in my mind that I wanted to call an acquaintance of mine from South Carolina. And I was facing some decisions, and I was like, I'd like to talk to this guy. And I don't know him real well. I just kept putting it off. I didn't feel like bugging him. And I never got around to it. This week, he left a message on my voicemail. He's never called me before in his life that I know of. And I was just struck with the reality that God sees me. Out of all the people who I was thinking of, God sees and makes the connection, helps us to make the connection. God sees me. Another one, God is there. Back in December, January sometime, Jeremy had asked if he could go to a praise and worship night some other church was putting on, and I wasn't too sure about it, so I said, I'll let you go if you let me come along. And he hesitated, but eventually he did, because he wanted to go pretty bad. And I remember it was a Saturday. I had a really tough week the week before at work and personally. And I remember standing there. The music was playing. I was one of the only old guys, not a youth. One of the youth pastors had a baby in a car seat, and it had earmuffs on the baby. So you can imagine it was loud. And so there was some singing, and then there was the worship leader stopped in the middle of the service, and he said, someone here is going through a really hard time. And then he went on to describe some specifics, and he was talking to me. And I left that night going, like, God was there. And I didn't know that he could be, you know, but God was there meeting me where I was, in a place that felt really strange. God is there. And then the last one that I'd like to look at is God provides. 12 years ago, our family moved here, and I had just come through 5 years of college, and we didn't have hardly anything. Had enough in our savings for a lease agreement to rent a place. And it's a couple months after we were here. I had started working at Life Ministries, and the bills were coming, and we didn't have any money. And Darlene and I were praying one day, and I remember feeling cynical and stressed. And Darlene, done praying, Darlene said, I'd like to go get the mail. And I feel like God's got something. In the mail for us today. So she goes out to the mailbox, and here's a $2,000 check from a family member as a gift to us. God Himself provides. It's His very nature. I'd like you to look at the list here. The names that reflect truth about what God is like, who He is. Pick one of them, maybe one that's not up here, one that you could meditate on this week and be reminded of who God is when you think of the name. And it describes what He's like, who He is, the very essence. Let's pray. Lord, I'm grateful that we can trust in a living God. That's reflected in truth, in the names, in his names. It's many names for God. None of them cut it. And Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith as we trust in faith, believing that you are who you say you are. Not just back here in the Old Testament, but you are here today. So Lord, go with us and draw our minds and our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.